Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts this morning, the book of Acts, chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13, turn all the way down to verse number 38 of this was where we will find our key text today. I will be giving you a lot of scripture as we're dealing with a topic that is at the heart of Christianity. But in Acts chapter 13, verses number 38 through 41, he says this, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that through this preached unto you, the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believeth are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, ye wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." In verses 38 and 39, he says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Jesus Christ brought the forgiveness of sins. It is through him. And he says, "And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." This morning, I want to preach to you a message that I've entitled, "To Be Forgiven." To be forgiven. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you this morning that you would guide my thoughts. That, Lord, you would fill this place with your presence and your power. I certainly stand as an unworthy vessel preaching a worthy book. Lord, I need liberty to preach. I need clarity of thought. Lord, I pray that you would guide us through this. And Lord, I pray that the heart of the message here, the thought, the joy of being forgiven, would be driven home to the heart of every Christian who's experienced that joy, that they know the joy of having their sins forgiven. And they'd be reminded of that today and just a fresh gratitude in their heart full because of the forgiveness that they've experienced by an almighty God. And Lord, I pray that you'll be here with every soul that might not have the privilege of knowing that forgiveness, that release of the burden of sin, that Lord, today they would be drawn to their need of a Savior and that they would come to the place where they would ask you for forgiveness of sin and accept that free gift that you offer. Guide us through this, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen. It is truly one of the greatest experiences in a person's life when he realizes that his sins are forgiven. That all of his sins have been forgiven. Not just covered up, not just hid, not just put away, but forgiven. Reconciled with God. The shocking reality today is that this world is doing all it can to rob mankind, people, of the possibility of forgiveness. They're working hard to remove any chance of ever knowing that peace and contentment in the heart of man. Today, they try in every way to convince people that they are not sinners. They try and tell him, "Oh, you're not a sinner. Who says you're a sinner? You haven't done anything wrong. You can do what you want to do. That's not a sin. Who said it's a sin?" They try and convince man that they're not sinners, that they haven't done anything wrong, and therefore they are not in need of forgiveness. But the fact of the matter is from the one who lives his life under the burden of sin, to the man who would stand on the rooftops and declare, I have not sinned. I've stood at the door and talked to men who I've said, you, of course, know that all have sinned, right? And they're like, no. You haven't sinned. No. They've stood there and in my face looked me as serious as can be and said that they have not sinned. But you know what? I don't care how much they say it with their voice. Here's what I know. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that in their heart, they feel the weight of the sin that they've committed. They feel the weight of that in their heart. And from the person who admit it and is almost crushed under the weight of it to the one who says, I have not sinned, all mankind feels that weight. For it is in the heart of man to know that he is a sinner. And it is in nature itself. Doth not nature itself declare that there is a God? It is in the heart of man to know that he's a sinner, and it is in our world itself that they know that there's a God. And they may stand and declare, and they may have convinced themselves that there is no God and that there is no absolute authority and there is no rule and therefore I haven't sinned. But it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't change the fact that in their heart they are burdened down with the weight of that sin. You say, Pastor Caleb, how can you be so convinced of that? Because today, in today's world, suicide is at an all-time high. People trying to find a way to be released from the weight and the burden of that sin. Discouragement. Drugs taken to help people make it through the day are at an all-time high. People trying to find ways to live their lives outside of the forgiveness of an almighty God. I want you to understand this morning that God extends his forgiveness to any who would be willing to accept it. But if we accept the forgiveness of an almighty God, we have to admit that there is a God and that there is a rule and that we've transgressed that rule, and mankind doesn't want to admit that. So they live their life and do all they can to take away or to remove the need for forgiveness. Some say, Pastor Caleb, I feel the weight of sin, but I'm not sure what sin is, or how do you know? Who says what sin is? Some might say this is sin or that is sin, but who is it that says what sin is or what sin isn't? How do I know? I feel that weight in my heart, but what sin have I committed? Well, in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 4, he says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. So sin, first of all, is a transgression of the law. That is doing something that you are not supposed to do. When we transgress the law, by the way, it's God's law. It's God's law. When we transgress God's law, when we cross over what God has given us here, and this is not just talking about the Ten Commandments, the law in the Old Testament. It's talking about all the laws that God has given us, like to love thy neighbor as thyself, and to give, and to go, and to preach, and to teach, and all of the commands that God has given us. When we transgress the law, we've sinned. So sin is a transgression of the law, doing something we know we're not supposed to do. And also, ignorance is no excuse. You still have committed that sin, even though ignorance is no excuse. If you were driving your car down Shawan Road and you were going 75 miles an hour, and a police officer pulled you over, and you said, well, officer, I did not know that the speed limit was 35. I'm sure he would say, oh, well, okay. No problem. I thought you knew that, but since you didn't, don't worry about it. You think that's what he's going to do? No. You have transgressed the law. Therefore, there's a penalty for that. Whether you knew the law or not. As people, we have transgressed God's law. Therefore, we have sinned. James chapter 4, verse number 17 says, therefore, the him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So, sin, first of all, is transgressing the law, that is, doing something that I know I shouldn't do. But here we get another description of sin, and that is not doing something I know I should do. That's a sin of omission. Not doing what I know I should do. Something that I know I should do and we don't do it, that's a sin. We've omitted that from our life. We've taken it out of our life, and so we have sinned by a sin of omission, not doing something that we know we should do. The fact is, the Bible tells us in 1 John 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin. If we were to take these biblical descriptions of sin, I think it's very clear to everyone here this morning that all men have sinned. That we are all sinners. From the youngest child in here to the eldest saint of God in our presence, we have all sinned. Don't take my word for it. Take the Bible's word for it. In Romans chapter 3, he says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And that familiar verse, as it is written, all have sinned. All have sinned. All means all. That means everybody. And there may be somebody here this morning that would, in their mind, and they've convinced themselves of the fact that they haven't sinned. But here's what I know. In your heart right now, there's something telling you, you know you have. You may stand up in front of others and say, I haven't sinned. I haven't committed any sin. But there's something in your heart saying, you know you have. You know you have. And you feel the weight and the burden of that. You see, God sees the unchangeable and the unescapable fact that mankind is a sinner. And if we are honest with ourselves before God, we know that we are sinners. This is why depression is at an epidemic high in our country. Why suicide is out of control. Because people are living with the guilt that God could free them of through forgiveness. But man has worked hard to remove the possibility of forgiveness from an almighty God. I don't understand it. I don't understand why they would want to do that. We can't get it on our own. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not just doing a little bit better job. It's not even stopping doing that. If I stop doing it and I never do it again, it doesn't change the fact that I did it over there. It's still there. And somehow I've got to get that right. Somehow, if I'm making my car payment and I went out and I bought a Mercedes and I got a really good price and it was only $45,000. And the one I was looking at was $89,000, so $45,000 is pretty good. But it was $45,000. And I started making my payments, but after about a couple months, my budget got tight, and I stopped making my payments. So for 6 months, I stopped making my payments, and then they threatened to come and take the car. Now, they'll do it a lot sooner than that, but for the sake of my illustration, don't mess with my illustration. So I say, oh, you know what? You're right, man, I need to be doing that. And so I start making my payments again. And I make all my payments all the way to the end, to the very last one. And I make that last payment and turn it in. And then they come and take the car. Why? Because for 6 months I still have that debt back there that I didn't take care of. That those payments that weren't made. And we are all debtors before an almighty God. And there's no way to reconcile that outside of the forgiveness of God. Proverbs 20, verse number 9 says, who can say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. Yeah. Who can say that? Who can say I made my heart clean? I'm pure from my sin because of what I've done. Nobody. See, forgiveness comes through Jesus Christ. I know that what I've told you thus far is quite depressing. Why would anybody go to church and let somebody tell them they're a sinner? I mean, don't you want to feel good when you go to church? Why would you go to church and let somebody stand up and tell you how bad you are? Because it's truth. It's truth out of the Word of God. The fact of the matter is we are all sinners, but the message is not done there. Actually, it hasn't even started. That's the introduction. So now it's going to start, but we'll still be out of here on time. So forgiveness is through Jesus Christ. Forgiveness comes through Jesus Christ. We can't do it ourselves. We can't earn it ourselves. We can't pay for it ourselves. It's only through Jesus Christ. Acts 4, verse number 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." It is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's why we're going out this afternoon. Why we're going to pass out these John and Romans that have a marked edition, that have a path for people to get forgiveness. They're living their lives under the burden and the weight of sin. And they don't know the answer. They don't know the antidote. They don't know how to get freed from that burden and that weight of sin. And we have here a couple thousand prescriptions that if all they do is follow the prescription that's laid out for them very clearly in this marked edition of the book of John and Romans, they can have forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. We have experienced it. The majority of you here know the forgiveness of God and the release of that burden and that weight of sin. Many a soul has talked about how when they got up from an old-fashioned altar or from kneeling in their living room and praying the prayer, how it just felt like a weight was lifted off, how the burden was gone that they had been under for so long. That's through Jesus Christ. No priest can take away that burden. No parent can forgive you for your past transgression. No pastor, no president can remove that guilt. A president may be even able to give you a pardon for the sin that you committed. If you had committed a crime against somebody else, the president may be able to write you a pardon where you don't have to answer for that here on earth. But that doesn't justify you before an almighty God. Only Jesus Christ can do that. We very clearly established what sin is. A transgression of the law, God's law. And Jesus Christ went to the cross for you, to forgive you of that sin. He bore your sin and mine on a cross. He was perfect and sinless, and that is why He is able to forgive you and I. You see, Jesus was God. He said in John 10:30, He says, "I and my Father are one." He was all man, but He was all God. Isaiah 53, verses 5 through 6, "But He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all." The only sin that ever touched my Savior was mine and yours. The only sin and the only weight and the burden of sin that Jesus Christ ever felt was the burden and weight of the sin that you and I have committed, because He took all that, He bore all that for you and I on the cross, that we might have forgiveness of sin, that we could experience the freedom of being released from the weight and the burden of that guilt. If you're here this morning and you're living under a burden or a weight of guilt of sin, understand that Jesus Christ wants to forgive you of that. Whether you're saved or lost, whether you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've known Him for a long time, the Bible still says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's where it starts. With salvation, But there might be some Christians here this morning, and you're living under the weight of sin as well. You know God, and you've known Him for a long time. But you're backslidden, and you're away from God. Not doing what's right. Living a life of sin. And you push it aside, and you push it out of your mind sometimes. But you feel that weight of sin in the quiet hours of the night when it's just you and God comes knocking. But you know that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for as much as you know you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. A perfect lamb went to the cross for you and I. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The salvation is offered to you and I. This forgiveness of our sin is from God. It's not man-made. Some people say religion is man-made. Well, you know what? A lot of religion is man-made. But you know what? Religion never saved anybody. Jesus Christ saves mankind. And the method of salvation was not man-made. It was brought through God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Salvation can only come from God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of who? God. It's a gift of God. If you're here this morning and you've been saved for a long time, I just want to wake you up to the fact that you stand forgiven this morning through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. And if you're here this morning and you haven't experienced that release of that burden of guilt of sin, God wants you to have it. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you can have forgiveness. Forgiveness is also complete. It's not just through Christ, but it's complete. It's complete and total forgiveness. Justified means literally just as if I had never sinned. Justified means just as if I had never sinned. Being forgiven to the point as if you had never done it in the first place. It's gone, and He'll never remember that sin. He won't hold that sin against you. No sin is so bad that God can't forgive it. No sinner is so wicked and done so much wrong that God cannot forgive them. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief. The Apostle Paul, who went about torturing, persecuting Christians, said, Jesus came to save people like me, sinners, of whom I am chief. Are you the chiefest of sinners here today? God came to save you. He came to forgive you. Forgiveness is complete. Martin Luther tells the story of having a dream one night. He dreamt that he was under the weight of his sin and was feeling that, and the devil, the accuser of the brethren, came to him. And the devil came and he held out his list. And he said, Martin, look at this list of sins you've committed. And he scrolled out a long list of sins and was listing them off to Martin Luther. When he got done with that scroll, Martin said, is that all of them? And Satan said, no, that's not all. And Satan grabbed another list and another long scroll he strung out and began to read off the list of the sins committed by Martin Luther. Martin Luther again feeling this weight of the accuser of the brother and of this sin. He's sitting there, he says, is that all of it? Is that all my sins? And the devil said, no. And he grabbed another list and began to read it. And when he got to the conclusion of that third long scroll, he looked at Satan and he said, is that all of them? And Satan says, that's all for now. And then Martin Luther was hit afresh and renewed that the just shall live by faith, and that we're saved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And he looked at Satan and he said, you forgot something. And Satan said, what? He says, you forgot that by the blood of Christ we are forgiven of all our sins. You forgot to write over the top of those lists the word forgiven. All of them. You've got the list and you've got them all there. They're all in one place where you need to write down on that list, forgiven. Jesus Christ wants to forgive you of all of your sins, not just a few of them, not just the ones you can remember from yesterday or the ones that weigh heavy on your heart, but he wants to lift that burden and that weight of sin from you and let you live free in the presence of Jesus Christ, knowing that your sins are forgiven. All of them. Every one of them. We get to experience and know that because forgiveness is complete. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace. Oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. Forgiveness is not to be in contempt. In our text this morning in the book of Acts, chapter 13, and verse number 40, he says, beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of the prophets, behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. He says, beware. That is to take heed, literally, to turn your eyes and to see, to behold, to beware of. He says, you despisers, that is to think little of. To hold something into contempt is to hold it in the place of despise, to hold it in a place of no value. Christian, have you got to the place where the forgiveness that you've experienced by Jesus Christ is almost of no value? You no longer value it. You no longer think about it. You no longer think about it for what it is and what it means to you. There are many Christians, I think, that reach that point. They no longer value the forgiveness that they've been given from Jesus Christ. And there's a world full of people today that hold in contempt the forgiveness that's extended to them. They look at it as no value, as they don't need it. It's a grave error to undervalue or to think that you don't need the forgiveness for your sin. Pride says, I don't need it. Pride says, I can do this on my own. And pride will send you to a place called hell. When there's a free gift of forgiveness extended to any man who would want it. The pursuit of this world makes people say they don't want that forgiveness. The forgiveness that God offers to be free from the weight and the burden of sin, the pursuit of the world makes people say, I want to pursue this and not get forgiveness. Some people's priorities, they say, I have other things I want to do. Oh, I think I want that forgiveness sometime down the road. Maybe after I get to, you know, I want to go and have some fun for a little bit first. I don't want to give up my sin right now. I want to do this, and then I'm going to go get forgiveness. You're holding in contempt. You're devaluing the forgiveness that God is offering to you. But you can't neglect so great a salvation. Don't despise it. Don't reject it. Forgiveness is had by simple confession. This morning you can have forgiveness for that weight of sin. Whether you're a Christian living in sin and you know you need to be forgiven, or whether you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your own personal Lord and Savior, and you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and have somebody show you in the Bible how you can know and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and be forgiven of all your sin. That happens by confession. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. you confess. Simply confess. It is for the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse number 13 says, "But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Anyone that's willing to just admit that there's an almighty God and that he sent his Son to be our Savior, and that we've transgressed that law and we stand guilty before him. You know, one time, we're almost done, but this is the most important part. One time when I was in college, I had an old, rusted out Ford F-250 that I drove for work. I was a drywall contractor, and I bought this Ford 250 four-wheel drive truck for $400. So you know what it looked like. I lived in a mobile home park, and my wife said she knew when I was coming home. I turned into the park because the thing was so loud. The mufflers were all rusted out on the thing, and the side of the truck went like this. You know, as I drove down the road, the just rusted just bucket. It's falling apart as I'm driving down the road. This thing is a piece of junk. Why do I want to have insurance on a piece of junk? And I'm a broke college student. So this is back before. They used to give you tags and title without insurance. They won't even give it to you now. I didn't have insurance on my vehicle. I was driving to work one morning, and there was a police officer on the right side of the road, and he had a little sign there that said, "You are going," and with the speedometer thing there, it tells you how fast you're going. So I looked at that, and I'm looking at that, and it said 45. Speed limit's 45. I'm okay. And I look back, and there's a three-axle dump truck sitting right in front of me, parked, stopped on the road, because I did not know, but there's a railroad track up there that the things had come down, all the vehicles stopped. I rear-ended that three-axle dump truck going 45 miles an hour. It totaled my truck. The officer did not even have to move his car. He just opened the door and got out. He said, "Well, son, you did it, didn't you?" Praise the Lord, I was okay. Big truck, hit another big truck. Didn't even hurt the three-axle dump truck. I put a little slit in one of his tires. The driver of the three-axle dump truck had a suspended license, so he didn't get to drive away. And I didn't have insurance. That officer was very upset at both of us. He said, "I just wanted to let you guys go. There's nothing here. I mean, your truck's a piece of junk anyway." I mean, he said, "But you don't have insurance. I got to give you a ticket." So he gave me a ticket, and I had to go to court. And I went to court, and I stood before that judge. I stood in front of him, and there was a prosecuting attorney there for traffic court. I never heard of that. This prosecuting attorney gets up, and he asks the judge for the whole letter of the law, including 6 days in jail for me. The judge looked at me and says, "How do you plead?" I said, "Well, I can tell you that I'm guilty, but I plead the mercy of the court." I plead for mercy because I did it. I drove without, there's no way around it. I transgressed the law. I was as guilty as can be, and there was nothing I could say that would change that. And he gave me everything the law would allow except 6 days in jail. My license was suspended for 6 months. I had to pay a $600 fine. I had to do 30 hours of probation and two other things. There was five things that I had to do except time in jail. He did not have mercy on me. I guess he didn't give me time in jail, so that was a measure of mercy. But what I'm saying is that I was guilty as can be before that judge. And you and I stand guilty before an almighty God. And if you're here this morning and you're willing to look at God and say, "Lord, I know I'm guilty. And I know that you came to pay that penalty for me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Will you forgive me of that sin?" That Jesus Christ wants to forgive you today. And if you're here as a Christian and you've already done that sometime in the past, then thank God for somebody, for his power to forgive you of the sin that you are guilty of, that you committed, and you're forgiven by an almighty God. Not far from New York, in a cemetery alone, close guarding its grave stands a simple headstone. All the inscriptions is one word alone, forgiven. No sculpture's fine art hath embellished its form, but constantly there, through the calm and the storm, it's birthed this word from a poor fallen worm, forgiven. It shows not the date of the silent one's birth, reveals not his frailties, nor lies of his worth, but speaks about the tale from his short time on earth, the word forgiven. The death is unmentioned. The name is untold. Beneath lies the body corrupted and cold. Above rests the soul, home in the fold, forgiven. And when from heavens the Lord shall descend, this stranger shall rise and glory ascend. We'll know and befriend to sing with him without end, forgiven. You've been forgiven. Thank God for it. And if you haven't, accept that forgiveness today. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed and eyes closed?